Not just being in the state of Florida, I am excited about following the will of God as closely as I know right now. That's what I'm excited about. I don't want to do anything else but follow the Lord as closely as I can. And I have quite a bit to say about that. Yes, I was asked by a pastor where the church is hungry for what I have to say. And this pastor said two things. One is, I don't want you to take what God has given you to the grave. We want it. We want to put a value on it. Secondly, could you come to down here to Miami and teach us? And we will make sure that we take everything you have, and if you could do it in a year, that would be great. If not 2 years, 5 years, whatever. Well, my major issue was the hunger. I believe that the essence of Christianity is something that almost all of you on the line know about, where I am in it. One is the transformation into the image of Christ. Two is to fulfill the destiny that God made us for. You know that I believe that the same God that said, let us make man, being mankind, also said, let us bring each of us, each of you, into the world. You are the determination of God to be alive before the foundation of the world. Now, in the transgression of Adam, God had to make another provision, and that is for our salvation, because in Adam all were dead spiritually. In Christ, there was the potential of all to be alive and to begin to get a hold of divine purpose and then be instruments of his will, in which we are. The times that we're living in right now become indicators of identifying where you are in light of the challenges in life like never before. I would say, in the natural, there's clearly a new world order. And it's amazing where it used to be BC and AD is now before COVID and after COVID. And evidently, COVID is still going on. So we decided to start distinguishing ourselves in light of the challenges of life. And it's amazing how almost everything since March of last year has taken on a new priority, a new order. And the breadth of that, I don't really want to even discuss. I think one of the things that I got to give God the credit for is keeping me vigilant about the things of God, no matter what noise is being sounded out. I understand, you know, quite a bit. I can't say I understand everything about the particular COVID disease, but I understand some of it. I don't believe it's greater than the Great Commission mandate. I don't believe it's greater than the call of God on your life, what he's told you to do. I recognize there are people who have died because of it, but there are people that are dying of a lot of things nowadays. And the media isn't as pervasive, isn't as passionate about letting us know about it. the things I notice, and again, I don't really want to go into all of it, but almost nobody is dying of the flu. Everybody seems to be dying of the COVID now. While I've said it to you at least a year ago, 80,000 the year before last died of the flu, 60,000 the year before that. Now all of it is COVID. You can interpret that like you want. I'm just saying. I may not have perfect vision, but I'm clearly not altogether blind. And my trust before this thing happened was in God. My trust since it happened is in God. I'm talking about demonstrated trust. Some things you have to defy. And I want to just talk to you through some of this, not in light of COVID, but in light of the Creator. And then go over some of the things I've said to you before on this line. Now, it looks like to me that God is going to broaden my audience. It looks like to me. And there's work being done regarding it, but I had a conversation with someone last night, late, that is going to do everything they can in terms of their capabilities of getting out my messaging to the end of the earth on every platform available, some of them free, some of them paid. And that's basically what I want. This particular location down here is for a year, but I only am committed to, and this is all asked of me, is to say do the first Sunday of every month. And then I knew that this particular ministry has a Monday men's meeting. I said, well, would you like for me to do the Monday men's meeting at night too? I said, well, yeah, I'd love that if you want. And then, so this Sunday, past Sunday, is the first Sunday of every month down here in Miami at Spring of Life Church with Joaquin Molina. And then, so this Sunday, I said, well, look, I'm down here on the first Sunday and the first Monday. I said, well, I just as well do Wednesday, too, while I'm here. So now it's Sunday twice, one in English, one in with an interpreter, second. Then the Monday night men's meeting, which by the way they had their first one 2 weeks ago, I would say the church was almost packed. And then secondly, Wednesday night service I'll be doing. Now, their church is going to exclusively open up to everybody with the passion necessary. Next Sunday, Mother's Day. I believe he said last night, or yesterday, they closed on Father's Day. They're opening up on Mother's Day. So he's kind of excited about all of that. So I'm hitting it now. I have numbers of other churches that have asked for me, and I haven't given them a date. I just got settled here yesterday. Jason and Tia, my oldest son and his wife, just left here helping solidify my new location. If you know what it's like being decades in one location, I was down there in Atlanta for 26 years. But it seems like made the offer year, I don't even really care. There was following the will of God. I have commentary about that. And, yeah, there's a lot to say about it. This is the first time someone has called me someplace who wants it. And Atlanta, I felt like God spoke to me there. In Richmond, I felt like God spoke to me to be there. This time, I'm called to be here because people are hungry. There's a lot to be said about these people. Now watch. What's amazing about this is these people are America, of course. But in this location where I'm sitting right now, it has been told, said to me, that minimum 80% of them are Latino. And one person said, no, it's more like 90. There are locations and places. I went to a restaurant recently in Doral. This is where I'm at, Doral, D-O-R-A-L, where there's difficulty finding anybody who spoke enough English to even take my order of the food I was getting. You know what? Now, you know I got issues being in America and not speaking English. But you know what? I'm in the will of God right now. I don't even care. I'm willing to learn some Spanish to do the will of God. Now, it's just what it is. I was willing to learn German, of course. That was shut down in some sense. Not because I was unwilling to be over there during COVID. They kicked Americans. Any Americans that weren't nailed down, meaning citizens, they invited out. So I don't know if I'm through with Germany yet. I don't even think I hardly got started. So, but until that happens, until it opens up, I'm going to keep doing the will of God, and I'm going to keep putting out the word of God. Now, I love all you soldiers. I do. I do. I love you guys. You're really good people, and I believe you're following after God. Now, let me just recapture something with you just to get perspective. Now, I gave Miss Ellenwood some things that God was showing me. It ended up being an 11-page outline. For those of you on the line, I don't know whether I should do this or not, but... And you know where I am. It's whether or not I'm going to get you to give you an 11-page a digital copy of this. This is... Anyway, wait till I finish talking. We'll see if you even want it. Let me just say this. This is the way God's encounter in the heavenlies is described in the Bible. In Isaiah 14:12, the question is asked, how are you falling from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning? You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. Now this is how Isaiah described what happened to Lucifer. Ezekiel picks up on it. In Ezekiel 28:13-17, he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Look, every precious stone was thy covering. Can you imagine that? And then it describes these stones. Your covering? What? The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So, you know, I've said a lot about this kind of thing. Even in that point, that last phrase, meaning that musical instruments was in this archangel. And in one case, he's declared a shining star. What is that? Yeah. And the other point I've made about him is God is the uncreated. This archangel was created. So they only can comprehend what he was made to understand. The idea of this rebellion was, it was clearly nonsense. Now, here's the point I'm going to make starting right now. God did not tolerate the presence of anyone or anything in disagreement with him because they're not suitable for it. See, in his case, we don't just call it sin. This was outright rebellion against God, meaning he was in disagreement with God. And in that sense, the devil tried to take over something he clearly didn't even understand because he was created. So there are things about Lucifer that he wouldn't understand about God because God existed prior to creating him. Everything from that point of the existence of God, how long, how powerful, he only have seen some of the demonstration of the ability of God. But he's an archangel. God made him to be awesome, as described right here in the passage that I've just read, and of course plenty of other places. See. His ability got next to him. But because he led a high treason against God, God's conclusion to him is, you're out of here. See? He was thrown out of God's presence, but in that he also was out of God's will. See? And to get in God's presence, either God had to create you for it, or you have to come by way of someone he approves. In our case, as believers, our access to God is through Jesus Christ. Now, the devil then comes down in the garden here. And you know the story. But let me read Luke 10:18. So he told them, I saw Satan, talking about his disciples, as God sent them out. Remember that? Sent the 12 out in the 70. And he said, and so he told them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Again, on the evangelistic campaign of the disciples in the will of God, the devil couldn't stay where he was because he was assaulted by the attack of those in the will of God and who could abide in the presence of God. That was his disciples. Revelations 12:7-9 and verse 12 says, then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle. So it says here, verse 8, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. Again, this is the point I'm making. See, there is a physical place, heaven. But then there is a spiritual place called heaven. And this is what I want you to understand. That the most heavenly place you could ever be is in the will of God. Because that's the place where God is going to abide. So what happens is when you and I are transformed into the will of God, we're then able to, one, abide the presence of God, and two, change the environment where God sends us. Because our assignment is clearly supernatural. I can say it's spiritual. And in the will of God, no foe of God's will is worthy of us. We're totally domineering. Now you got to grow to that. Now, this particular season for the last year has shown that much of the church is way beneath the ability to dominate circumstances. The ability is there, but the demonstration has been far from strong. Now, I've an awful lot to say about this. Let me finish this little reading. Verse 9. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world. Can you imagine that? How are you going to deceive the whole world? What's your capability? He didn't have to deceive the whole world. He just could deceive one man made in the will of God and the effect of that generationally through the birth canal. Both natural and spiritual, everything spiritually, naturally and spiritually, everything fell to a lower measure than the creation originally. And the great dragon, the devil, Satan, is the progenitor of all of this. But he was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Now, the response in verse 12 to this is, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens rejoice. Now, Isaiah Saldivar is actually participating in clarifying the works of the darkness, demons, and evil by a deliverance grace on him, and also binding the works of darkness and taking over their kingdom, which was what Jesus said, in my name shall you cast out devils, go into all the world and basically do what he originally told Adam and dominate. Now, the devil comes down though to the garden. Is convinced by that serpent, you see, to go against God. In his listening to the devil, he then can't handle his creative assignment. So what happened? He's thrown out of the garden because he disagreed with God and agreed with darkness. Now, what you find in not only his children, which you've seen me talk about, on throughout, covenants were about getting in agreement with God. Evil was about disagreement with God. You can't abide anywhere in creation itself and be comfortable outside the will of God. Every sinner is a liar if they say they're comfortable in their own skin outside the will of God. The master, their father, is a deceiver. There's Forbes came out with their new richest people on the earth list. I saw some documentation of the top 20, and maybe three of them, maybe the Bolton family, they were like in the top 20, in the teens somewhere. Maybe the only declared Christians on the list, but there were 3,000 of them, billionaires. They're all billionaires, of course. Not one penny of that money gives them comfort of the covering that God created man to have. No inanimate object like a medium of exchange, whether it's a commodities or market or securities in banks, anybody who feels comfortable that they have enough money to to secure their lives are off messaging and outside of the comfort that they can get from the peace that passes understanding that only God can give. No amount of anything the earth has can comfort you outside of the will of God. You were made for the will of God. You weren't made for anything the earth can in itself provide. And everywhere you've seen disagreement with God, defeat occurred. Now, let me just go here just for a minute. Now, we've had some great moves of God. I was just reading about sinning. And it is said, this is an amazing statement, though, but it is said that in 1831, Rochester, New York was like dramatically transformed by Finney's work, and 1830. And it is called the greatest year of spiritual awakening in American history. Can you imagine that? 1830 and 1831. Finney. The man was so powerful that, you know, a man named George Williams, an English worker, was converted by reading Finney's writings. And in 1844, was inspired by Finney to create, guess what? The founding of the YMCA. This is the kind of impact that Finney had. So let me just make a couple statements. In the 1700s, you had Jonathan Edwards, who is famous for his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, who would want to listen to anybody preaching a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Now, if in this day and time, people are choosing both the fivefold to preach messages to people who agree with them. Revival never comes by accommodating the people you're talking to. People would feel like when Jonathan Edwards would read monotone that message, he had a manuscript. They would see themselves dangling over the fires of hell. But his message went against the tide of the day. Messages today, preachers wanted to go with the tide of the day. Now, look, during the 1800s with Finney, but it was that way, even religious people came against him, including Lyman Beecher. And that's something I could read about too and talk about, but he was one of the most powerful Christian leaders in the 1800s. And then, you know, Harriet Beecher Stowe, you know, is a product, you know, of this Beecher family. This man and his family had a great impact on America. He was a producer of children, not only that were godly, but also real smart, you see, the Beechers. But they didn't place the emphasis on intellect. The emphasis was on transformation. We love good preaching. That was a good message. And you ask yourself, well, how will you transform with it? See, George Whitefield came here, and Wesley, same thing. Wesley's wife screamed out against him when he was preaching. Liar, liar, liar. But the reality of his messaging was so powerful, it had a transformational effect. It was the same with George Whitefield. They would, it's said to have cut up animal parts and throw them at him while he was preaching. See, the conscience of America is not pricked. When I listen to the president's speech, I looked at the eyes. I don't know why I did this, of Vice President Harris and Pelosi behind them, standing up, clapping. But I looked in their eyes, I saw fear. And to me, that fear is running amok in that community of people because they have, the devil got them on a wave of evil, similar to the disciples in the boat when Jesus said, let's go over on the other side. The winds came up against them. The waters, they were riding on a wave. And they go down into the bottom of the boat and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? This was evil going against the will of the of God. The Creator was in the bottom of that boat. And they couldn't control it. This is the fear I saw in the eyes of those people. They are doing such evil. They're on a wave of such evil that the fear I saw in those two people's eyes was they're losing control. So when you start looking at just the business community, I could name to you the categories of things. Educational community, the governmental community. You look at the church proper itself. It is being dictated to by the world during this time and season that I'm just reading about Finney and these people. Even the church has adopted the language of the world. In Finney's day, the world adopted the language of the church. The new measures, the revival, the move of God. Newspapers had headlines on what was happening with God and his people. I mean, but you know this is the influence of God's people by our original documents, by the founding of every Ivy League school except maybe one. This was the influence of godly people in a time whose lifespan was less than 70. I've read clearly something in the early 1800s that the lifespan of number of these people was, of average man, was in the 40s. The judgment of God was so severe on this nation because of wickedness, evil, alcoholism. Listen, people, the conscience of this nation is not pricked by the preaching in the pulpits. This didn't just begin. The preaching contemporary today goes along with the tides of the day. The challenge is, look, and when I was there in Richmond and we're hitting those college campuses with a number of those people, I remember one of the last meetings we did at PTL. We had 80 students commit to go into full-time ministry to preach the gospel from that conference. Now, some of these same people that are grown up, and now they say, well, I got a wife and I got a family. I can't just go out and preach. So you think all these disciples were young and didn't have families, and there was no cost to it? But do you know about still major organizations still have people? I mean, I remember teaching in YWAM where they have this teaching called Crossroads. And that means when you retired from whatever you were doing, whether it was ministry or your area that you studied and that you were a professor, what were you going to do next? They called that a crossroads season. And their challenge was were there any messaging that you could get that could get you in the latter part of your years serving God fully? See, that's what they call crossroads. They have a whole ministry just to help people with that transition. So, in other words, age is no deterrent to the will of God. It only should mean seasoning. Now, the body, physical body, it tries not to hold up. It's not made to last forever. See? I had somebody talk with me or mention to a discussion they were having as husband and wives, and they were talking about the next life, where your soul goes, where your, they're talking, they didn't realize they were talking theology. And these arguments are old arguments, but it wasn't like what my daughter said she was hearing from Bishop Mason about the end times. And Isaiah Saldivar says that tomorrow in his site, he's talking about the end times, all these types of things. If you don't talk about the end of time, you clearly haven't made your way into the eternal realm, because the eternal life is about what happens in the world outside of this world. It's going on now. Things are happening in the spirit world now. But the influence of that world should set the priorities of this world. And that actually is what's happening. Either you are being influenced by the powers of darkness and making decisions that comes from the flesh, the world, and the devil, or you're being influenced by God, which comes from the Spirit, the Word, angels, Almighty God. You're influenced by either side. Every thought, every word, everything you and I do are being influenced by some force from the invisible world. My goal always were to make you yield to that eternal world and to bring you to the Bible and to get you from being so soft. And every one of the Christians that you know, the main people of the New Testament, which I said before, which are John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul, they all got killed for what they believed. God didn't place a strong value on preserving your life when you serve Him. The whole theology, the idea of salvation is to give your life so that God might use it for His purpose. Well, didn't He create you? Wasn't that the creation itself? He created Adam for His purpose. He didn't create Adam for Adam's purpose. Now you get to be born again. You get a chance to be born from above. Well, Adam was made from above, but within the mind of God. Now you and I being born again, we came from God. So to just do natural things and to judge yourself by natural accomplishments or natural education or natural amount of money you have and all that, that the measurement of that in fleshly terms has no eternal value to it. You got to value your life by the one who's going to give you your ultimate rewards. Your ultimate responsibility, to the degree that you're disconnected to that, is a degree to which your life is not, it's not solid. It's not, there's no peace in that. In the world, you should have tribulation, but beyond that, in the world, you're going to have circumstances. See, evil from the powers of darkness and the invisible world, evil people, challenges to your physical body, challenges to the from demons, principalities, systems of evil, that all exist. That's the fall of Adam. But God is going to hold you and me accountable for how we handled the things of this world. See, now, to the degree that you're disconnected to God, you can be born again and yet disconnected. You think that God's, your life is all about your circumstances. So you pray to God, get me delivered from this. God, help me to get this new house. God, help me to get on. It's all about your circumstances, not about your call to the death. So I said this to you. I said, you can get it from Josephus' book. Every one of the apostles died martyrs, except maybe one of them. We are declaring that under these circumstances, we're not trying to save our lives. I had somebody write me and tell me, no, they didn't write me. And yet somebody texted me and said, Bishop, you followed Trump. And, I'm not going to be able to follow you because you followed Trump. You said, I followed Trump? I followed Trump? You don't listen to me if you think I followed him. I follow this person. Said, well, you were for him. Well, who would you like me to have been for? You should decide that for me. You're for this present president and what he's doing? That's who I should have voted for. But let me just say this. I have taught on, if I got in the presence of former President Trump, this is what I would say to him. In my view, I could have preserved his presidency and probably pricked his conscience greater, that's a strong statement I'm making right now, than some of those who were around him. I've had them say that, you know, he has a strong will, but it's not stronger than God's will, and God's will is demonstrated through the people he's chosen. Now, I won't call the name out of the person who said, Bishop, you should be here. We need you there. And then they get a false accusation against me and decide, well, no, I don't think Bishop should be there amongst us. Well, I wasn't applying for no job. I wouldn't have put that on my resume. As a matter of fact, so somebody said to me, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't want to be at your meeting because you supported the president. You are nonsense. It's what I say that makes the difference. You think I would have sent one of my children for him to disciple my kids or any of you? You think I wouldn't have been there being an influence to him? You think that what I say wouldn't help him? So we shouldn't be in the politics. That is totally nonsense. If you're into God, you got to be into government. Don't you read the Bible? Isaiah 9 says the government of the world should be on his shoulders. He carries the government. You can't look at the Bible and not see godly people governing secular people. You got issues with God. Joseph ran Egypt by revelation. God, why did you give him that insight? Why did you use him to provide for the sustenance of that day by his revelation, his relationship with God? God, why didn't you just set him free instead of putting him to be the number two man in charge of an evil system? Why did you let the three Hebrew boys and Daniel get captured? And why did you give interpretations of an evil Nebuchadnezzar's dreams and all these kings' dreams? Why would you give your insight to evil people, God, using a man of God? Shouldn't be in the government. Yeah, nonsense. But I don't know what you're talking about. You know, even John the Baptist pounded Herod and was killed because of his pounding of Herod, determining the standard that he should live by. Herod got mad at him. See, but this is true. See, but the challenge with Christianity is it doesn't prick the conscience of government. God is running the whole world, and Christians are to give the messaging for the world. You think Christians should just give messaging to Christians? See, you got to stop this nonsense talk. And numbers of folks are backslidden. You can't hardly see a church that is producing disciples, producing preachers. We'll talk about the natural achievement of people and their education over their transformation and their call to the messaging. This gospel of the kingdom should be preached as a witness of the whole world, then shall the end come. I've never been in any environment where I catered my message to what those people wanted to receive. And I'm not even doing it to you right now. I've been like this the whole time. You could never be in a church or the company with me, and I try to help you do what's comfortable for you in serving God. If I can't find the place where you resist God, if I can't bring you to some discomfort, if you're going to disagree with me, at least do the research on it. At least be biblical. Don't try to call me out for being unbiblical. Show me where I'm sinning. Don't say the nonsense about, well, he supported Trump. I don't know one president that lived godly in my day and time. And Billy Graham has the distinction of saying that every president during his lifespan, he advised. I think those people that were around the president failed him by not getting me there. So what? That wasn't my assignment. I'm still doing it, still hitting it. And not playing about it. Never have been. Same way, one person said to me, one of my sons said to me just the other day, he said, Bishop, you've been like this ever since I've known you. In this particular case, he said, over 25 years. What? All night prayer? Totally. Shut-ins for days. I mean, people, I've done that. I mean, this year, go shut in for weeks. Just get with God, period. I've been like that, but God had to help me. Every man of God you see in the Bible found times where God became their priority. And if they lived a great life, it was doing the will of God. It was never a natural achievement in the Bible. Now, let me go on with this. Yeah, I've got a lot to say. Let me just go back to this thing about the wave of evil. Jesus is in the boat, but who can he go to make the evil, the storms, that comes from the darkness, that's trying to destroy those in the boat in the will of God. Tell the wind to shut up, the evil to shut up. Because why? The culture is bankrupt. You can see where it's going. Listen, let me history for you. So I just told you about Rochester, New York. It was the same in New York City, the third great awakening, after Finney, Lapierre. So you got the first great awakening in the 1700s with Jonathan Edwards. You got this Finney revival and the move of God in the 30s. And then you got the third great awakening in 1857, Jeremiah Lapierre. God is holding New York accountable. What do you mean? To the great awakening that happened, both in Finney's revivals, Rome, New York, Rochester, New York, and then what happened with Lapierre in the 50s. So they did not. They went to debauchery. So what's happening? COVID at a level to whom much is given, much required. God is requiring of that city, the Babylon of our day. God's holding it accountable. Why? Because great revelation was there. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have people like A.R. Bernard and Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle and Times Square Church, but those are the three largest churches in a city of millions. Debauchery rules. But what's the point? Because they wouldn't let God permeate righteousness into the city. They went to debauchery and money. So God judged it strongest. It's still right now being judged. Look at all the nonsense with the governor and all that nonsense. But then go to L.A., it said that Azusa Street was the greatest revival since Pentecost, 1906 revival. What's the most plundered city outside of New York with the COVID and all the other nonsense that goes on? L.A. What is that? God holding the city accountable to great moves of God there in the past. They're held accountable. Yeah. Chicago. Alexander Dowie, the great man of God, named a whole city called Zion, Illinois, after the power of God that he brought there to Chicago and the move of God there. A friend of mine just said, he's from Chicago, said Michigan Avenue is still shut down because of the rioting and nonsense. Gay person runs, is the mayor, or lesbian. God holding the city accountable. I can go on and keep naming places and cities because of moves of God. Listen, there's a son of Alexander Dowd in Tacoma, Washington. John G. Lake there in Seattle. That's just a stone's throw from Seattle. Some of the greatest moves of God, the healing moves with John G. Lake there. Was one of the most plundered cities. The move of God that was there in that in Seattle. Was the one, Seattle, plundered. God holding them accountable. America is being held accountable right now. Hardly anybody's telling you. I'm talking to a small audience right now. I don't care. I'm putting the truth out. It's permeating the atmosphere. I'm judging it. Not judgmental. I'm giving you God's perspective as to what's happening historically. Listen, this tidal wave of Black Lives Matter, that is not a biblical construct. Anybody that's got to be convinced being black that they matter or being white that they matter is disconnected with God. Of course they matter. Every human being that God created matter. The challenge is whether they're in the will of God or not. That's not the messaging that's going forward. The media isn't called to put out the truth of the gospel. It's the fivefold call. What are they putting out? I don't know why, because they're so silent you can't hardly hear them. And these audiences, I just had a talk with someone just last night. These audiences of these television networks, they're saying that the average age of those people are in the late 60s and 70s that support those networks. The younger people, they're on social media. But that's so full of nonsense. There's such mixture there. Where is the move of God? I'm not saying that God isn't moving anywhere because he always preserves himself for remnant. You got to say to some degree, we're a remnant. When I told one leader that I'm going to be down here in Miami and this church celebrated me, he said, well, look, I know of another church bishop. If you could come there once a month, this is in this state. I won't call the state out. He says, can I get permission from you to talk to this clergy about you coming there once a month? Their church of about a few thousand. They would love to have you. R.T. Kendall was like I'm going to be up there at Times Square once a week. Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm going where God sends me, but they can throw dead body parts at me all they want. The heaven will be rejoicing. Now, it's way after six right now, and doesn't look like I care. I don't. I care about what I'm saying to you way greater than the time. The days are evil. See, you men that are on the line, you'll be able to go to Spring of Life. I don't know what this website is. It may be Spring of Life. Reach out to Miss Ellen, which she can tell you, so you can listen to what I'm going to be talking about tonight. You're going to want to hear it. See. Some of my own people, there's been no demand to get me. Some of my own leaders are afraid of me. Well, it should be that way. But I still have a base of godly men who say, Bishop, I love you. And they send me, they honor me, they send a seed to me every month. So, no. And I have a couple of them say, well, I can't say I agree with you with everything. Well, why haven't you called me? I had somebody text me. They text me. A grown man sent me a text on something he's passionate about. when I'm available to talk to, straight up about it. Just don't talk nonsense. Validate. Don't talk about opinions. But if you disagree with me, that's okay. There's no man perfect. Just know what you're talking about. I don't care if you disagree with me like that. I love you. Goodness gracious, man. What's wrong with you? And this one person that wrote me is a leader. He said, well, I can't talk with you right now about it. I'll talk with you some other time. You're the cancel? You're going to send me a text, not call me or talk to me face up about a problem you have with me, and then say you can't talk with me about it. You're the cancel culture? Grown man, old self, can't talk to me? And I loved you? Yeah. What is that? What is that? My God. Well, I guess I need to send you the 11-page outline then. You cannot stay in the presence of God or the will of God in disagreement with God. And that's what you see all over, okay? In disagreement with your wife or your husband, you won't stay together in disagreement. You separate. The last messaging that Jesus left to his disciples in John 17 was about the power of agreement, how the God is in agreement. And he says, I want you disciples to be in agreement the same way as we are in agreement in the Godhead. Where there is disagreement, there is division. The greatest person to be divided from is the Almighty. You better find yourself in alignment with God. Because everywhere you're in disagreement, there is destruction and separation and devastation. And God is letting it be obvious. I just gave you a few of the cities. I could go into talking about New Orleans and how that Louisiana was one of the states in the 1877 compromise. They've not recovered from that. South Carolina still said, they're saying that my man that did the response to the president address to the Congress, Tim Scott, that he's a new shining star because he said the conservative things that should be said. No, come on, man. God isn't a conservative. He's a radical. I mean, I said it yesterday, but Reagan is the one that shut the funding down for the mental health institutions. That's the homeless people on the street. These are crazy people, lots of them. They just weren't poor, they were crazy. Why? Because the government shut the funding down. But the government shouldn't have been taking care of them anyway, because God gave that assignment to crazy people. In my name shall you cast out devils. These are mentally oppressed people. They're evil spirits, systemic evil. The care of the world. That's why you have Catholicism. It means universal. It was the first 300 years. They're the ones that created educational systems and hospitals. And then you had, when there was this division against Catholicism and Protestantism, you still have churches establishing hospitals and colleges, still taking responsibility for the world, the Puritan ethic, and these colonial documents. These were Christians. We were taking over the world in this country, doing it God's way to the degree, to the best we could. Sure, there was opposition even in the founding of this country. Come on, people. You better get some fire here and get out of those houses, shut up in them. There got to be some people thrown in jail. The radicalness is, that's what you got with the apostles. There got to be some people who defy the governor. When it's against the will of God, you hold the church service. You have campaigns. You gather people by the thousands. Anyway, you say, well, they're going to get COVID and die. Yes, they're already dead in trespasses and sins. At least get them saved and let them die. Don't let them die healed in the house wearing the mask. I mean, you see people in the car by themselves with a mask on. The spirit of fear has penetrated the culture without the knowledge of it. I said to people, do you know? They said, well, I don't agree about wearing masks. It's carbon dioxide. Your own breath is killing you. These experimental vaccines are not legitimate vaccines. They're experimental because they've not been really tested. And then the one company that had experience with it, Johnson & Johnson, people getting blood clots, the media stopped talking about how many people are dying from that vaccine. And then who are they targeting? They're taking it the most. Blind people. It's Tuskegee. In a sense, that's what that is. Paying the presidents of historically black college campuses $1 million per campus while you're doing that to white campuses too, white colleges too, paying them $1 million to encourage their students to take the vaccine. And then you have these ignorant athletes getting upset. It's safe. It hasn't been proven that they're safe yet, knucklehead. Shut up. You're an experiment on this vaccine because it's untested. Now, the truth of the matter is, Biden should blame the former president for that because he's the one that got them to do the thing so quickly. So when that happens, there are going to be people die. Sure. And they're going to be the ones that this thing is tested out on. It's perfected through the trials of people who are afraid, who want to take it, who believe them. They don't know. They're lying to you. They're not saying, we're not sure whether you're going to die, whether blood clots, this could happen. At least with some of the medications that they put on TV now, they say, this will help you with this and that and that. However, these are the things that could happen to you. And then they list more things that could kill you with that medicine than that medicine is helping you for. At least they're being honest about it, not this vaccine. See, it's an experimental vaccine. Now, you can be in disagreement with me all you want. I'm just telling you to help you. I'm talking about putting your trust in God. That's what I'm doing. I'm not taking no vaccine from nonsensical people that are taking political sides, even in medicine. That's nonsense. See, God wants me to, which he doesn't, get COVID and die over here somewhere, down here in Florida. I ain't down here causing no heat. I create the weather. See, what are you talking about? My devotion toward God has some effect. Hey, I'm not neutral. Just the fact that you heard me this morning. I'm not neutral about nothing. See, the demand is getting greater. What's going to happen is you're a bishop. There's going to be a demand for my message. That's why God's keeping me alive. There's going to be a demand, not just this church, but there are other churches that's called. Not just churches, whole nations. Did you hear what Chick Ware is doing over there in Malawi? Pastor Bruce just sent me. I mean, he's rounding up all those people that's robbed. They're people who have robbed their country of the money. Now, some of those countries, they're declaring the vaccine. They want the vaccine. Look at the countries who want the vaccine. You know, does it help? None. No, I'm just saying it's like those medicines. It has some good effect and it has bad effects. Some of those countries want it. That's their. They have faith in that. Give it to them. I'm telling those of you who have taken the vaccine, listen to me. So what? God is the one. If it does work, God is the one that makes it work anyway. Science don't know for sure, but God does. You stay in the will of God. You stay trying to be conformed to the image of God, and God will keep you. He can do it through a vaccine. He can do it through a mask. Okay? So I'm just saying that in the end of my talk. But be available at the level you are available before this thing happened. That's what I'm also saying. Don't isolate yourself and say you're available to God. You're not. And some of the wives are telling their husbands how they should deal with this thing here. You mean she's the covering for you, dude? You're not the covering for her? She doesn't get her comfort from you telling her this is how we want to deal with this thing? And they're, huh? You're not the leader of the household, dude? There's parts of the Bible you just want to tear it out then. Wives, obey your husbands. Submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. You don't tell him how to handle the vaccine. He tells you how to handle it if you're married to him. And then ask him then, as his wife, do you believe this is the will of God here? Another place it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Subjection? What do you mean I could die? The scripture still is the same. When you get before God and you defied the word and your husband, what are you going to say to Jesus then? God, I couldn't do what he said. Well, God said, I never changed my word, though. Why did you do what the word says? What are you going to say to that? Some of you women need to stop it. See? I'm just saying, you can't. The Kingmaker book, reread the thing. You can't rebel like that and defy your husband to his face when he's trying to stand on the word. He's trying to put the gospel out. He ain't perfect. So, but you still got to submit to what the Bible says, whether he's perfect or not. You're going to have to answer for it in a great day. That doesn't make sense for you. You know better. You know better. If you were going to do your own will, you shouldn't have got married. You are married, you're in it, stay in it, and then do God's will in it. It's some suffering in it. You got a wife that won't do what you say, get a greater anointing then. I'm not letting either of you off the hook. Go consecrate yourself. Go on a 7-day fast. Shut in. Let her see you do that. Maybe God will put a greater reverence on her for you. But at your present level, unless she's totally rebellious against what the word says, maybe your consecration level will get you up higher and that family will be more unified. This thing isn't automatic. There's people's will at stake. Well, let me just say this in closing. Look, I did this thing called Basic Black Journal. You tell me the culture don't need what is the content of that little journal I got right here. I'm looking at it. I got it right here with me. See. How could you not know the stuff I have in this? How many pages? 27, 28 pages this thing is right now. Stuff I have in here about the black church and all these different Wall Streets and these soldiers and their serving and the KKK. This is a documentation that white people and black people need to have this information like never before. I was way ahead of my time in putting it out. And numbers of you never even really read it all the way through. You didn't understand. This information could save the nation from all the nonsense going on right now in the racial tensions. Them skinheads down there in these certain cities, like down there, they're in every one of the southern states and some of the northern ones too. I told you, I'm very familiar with the, anyway, forget all that. They're nonsensical people out here that don't have God, and you are called to give it to them. You're not only called to pray. Watchman Nee talked about it just like decades ago, literally almost over a century ago, which is the James passage, faith without works are dead. You can't say you have this mystical, godly life and not doing things that put your life at risk. You cannot give way to the flesh and try to save the flesh and follow God in the spirits strongly. You got to bring the flesh under and tell it to. We're going over to this city. We're going to these people. We're going to visit the sick. See, this whole thing, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, except COVID. That's what the Bible must say that. See? So glory to God. You see, my daughter shut y'all off, and I'm about to say a final prayer right here now, people. I'm just saying. I know that God wants a new emerging disciples. Some of you who are my age and not very much younger, you think God's done with us? All that knowledge you've accumulated in the decades, you think God wants you to just kind of die out, wane out? You don't think he wants you to go out in a blaze? What do you think? See? Now I'm going all over the place. But that isn't the best way to do it. I need to be a better use. So until God opened up the channel for me, I jumped off of Facebook Live. Nobody told me to go. I just felt like the season for that was over. Now I'm about to emerge again now in a lot of platforms. Shitty Terry. See? But I don't do things other than being led by God and the best that I know. That's just what it is. See? Now, I want numbers of you to wake up now. Get out of the background. Get into the foreground. The world needs you now. See? It doesn't matter what gender you are. Male, female, young, old, whatever it is. Come on. We got to get out on the front lines. I'm talking about where your life is at risk. In the natural, my wife and I should have long got this thing. Everywhere we've been, all the people whose lives we've touched, to know who you know us, you know she has type 2 diabetes. You know she had a stroke in 2002. She's the precondition. She should have long been dead based on all the news. But we're in the will of God. If we would have got it and we would have died, you know, I said to the church, don't be crying over me. I'll be in heaven. And Mrs. Boone, the same. When God's done with us, that's when we die. If he's not done with us, we're living strong in it. See? That's what I'm saying to you. Don't whimper out. Hit it harder. You can do it harder. See? It's like you're going to these athletes, you have a personal trainer. The personal trainer gets you. My wife got a personal trainer coming in here this morning between 10 and 12. Going to come in here and get her moving better. Because on her own, she won't do it. I'm dragging her around. You know, she said, come on, baby, let's go faster, faster, faster. And she fights me. I pull her right along, though. I'm not giving in to it, any of it. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, she gets up at night sometimes and goes to the wrong door going to the restroom, and she's out in the hallway somewhere. She could be anywhere. I have to sleep with one eye open. I don't care about that. I know my children sometimes say, well, we need to consider help. What are you saying? You want me to put her in some kind of home or something? I'm not doing that. God's going to have to make it so I can't handle it. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I got my woman. She's in there in the room right now. See? I'm hitting it. But not without opposition. Not without challenge. So what? This isn't a permanent life. See? But I'm living on a permanent level. Where the gospel is desired is where I'm going to preach, and then I'm not going to preach to satisfy you. I'm going to preach to satisfy God. My Father, thank you so much now for every person under the sound of my voice. They wanted it, and it looks like now I'm through with the moving. Yes, there are some more things to do. No, there are some things I need, but I'm set for the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world. And I thank you that already doors are opening up. And if Andrew Joseph is on the line, we are on our way to Malawi. And, yep, keep on. Just provide these nations with whatever you think they need and keep going out, reaching out beyond your own metron, your own city. Just keep going for it. Numbers of you, just keep reaching. If you're reaching nursing homes and you have a nursing home ministry, reach some more of them. Let God use you. The best you can be used. Tell you what, they said that my wife was in intensive care. You wouldn't know that just a few weeks ago. And my daughter-in-law, Jason's wife, Tia, is a legal nurse or something. But they said, well, you can't go in there intensive care. She said, no, get me your manager, not the shift manager. Get me. This is your hospital rule. It's not a legal rule. by law, I can go right in there with where she's at as a relative, one relative. So you know what? Because she understood that stuff about shutting families out and all that, she knew better. She stayed right in there until I came back from the city I was in. And then after that, I went right in intensive care and spent all night with my woman. Because somebody knew better, defying some of these made-up rules. My Father, thank you so much that these people just don't take everybody's word for things. They take your word, and they're bent on doing your will. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice now. Continue to use them. Come on, Father, to shake the earth. Come on, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've done through them to this point. Use them greater. Give them, extend their lives, Lord. Not like this with Hezekiah. She extend their lives because of a new dedication that's in their heart right now. Because of a new passion where they want to have a greater effect. Because of new insight you're giving them, Lord. The revelation, like what daughter was saying about Bishop Mason. Open up doors for him to speak more, Lord. And to impact more people. And to change more lives by the glory of God. To raise up new disciples, young, old, crossing racial lines. Thank you for how you are using. And many, many others on this line right now. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless you, daughter, in getting your hip replaced. You know I got all of them done. Yep. And so now I can jump up and down. I can walk and go anywhere now. I never in the natural, you know, thought it was going to be possible at the level I can do it now. So God is great. And God, 76, that's like what? That's 50-something. Don't give in to all this old age talk. It's overrated. Keep hitting it. Just keep hitting it. Walk every day. Eat the right kind of food. Stop eating all the nonsense. Get rid of the, not that you do, I'm talking about daughter, I'm talking to you, I'm just talking to all of you on the line. Stop eating the nonsense. Lose some of the weight. You know, understand what I'm saying here? Come on. Don't give in to the flesh's desires so easily. Numbers of you already do that. But go ahead. Okay? So when this thing came up to my children and I defied it and then finally I yielded to it and I stuck with it. And God has helped me and I feel 100% better and I'm out here hitting it. I'm just doing it. What else would I do if it's not the will of God and hitting it? Giving people the message. That's the bottom line. Not even social reform. It's the message. Then the ministry. And in the ministry, you got the message. You tell it, and you do it. You do it, and you tell it. But it's not either or, it's both and. Don't let nobody shut you up. Keep speaking it. And if they shout you down, let them shout you down. If they challenge you, let them challenge you. That's okay. Don't get mad at them. Something they don't know. There's something they need to experience. Give it to them. Don't be neutral. Stop being so afraid of people's criticism. And they're rejecting you. Stop. Get out of that psychobabble stuff now. You're too old for that now. Stand up strong and give the message and let them kick you out of something. And let them reject you. Let them go the other way when they see you. But let it be because of your message. Don't let it be because of psychobabble mess. They hurt me. They told me to get out of that. Hit it. Hit it hard. To God be the glory. Thank you, Pastor Hunt. I see you come back on there for calling and checking on your bishop. Thank you. numbers of you, send me a text and tell me you are praying for me. My head intercessor over there, both with Pastor V. Thank you for sending me long texts about you praying for me. And then also Linda Ward over there with that praying for me and standing up strong for your bishop. So thank you. Thank you. I do celebrate that. So you can take part of the blame for me having this kind of edge that I got on me right now. And you keep praying. I'm like, I guess you're to blame. Yeah. Thank you. That's some good stuff. Still keep praying. I'm going to keep hitting it. To God be the glory. I'm just saying. Either I'm going to die a martyr or I'm going to die praying to the last breath, but not neutral. Not sitting in a house with a mask on. Not, you know, so yeah, I got masks. I got all kinds of them. I got masks. I got masks. So I want to let you know that. I mean, still won't let me in. So I put the mask on, go do my business, minister to somebody when a door open up in there. Put the mask, take the mask off as soon as I get out of there. Wearing no mask. It's a new world order kind of thing. Let nobody dictate to me about stuff like that. But if I want to go in the store and they require you to wear a mask, I'm putting the mask on. I got other fights to fight. It's not that one. I put the mask on. Get it off, though. I don't want that germs coming back at me. See, my other got bad breath. I don't want that stuff coming back at me. Through a mask. You keep doing it. Keep doing it, okay? People, keep reaching people. Don't let nothing stop you from reaching people and having an impact. Yeah. And get a little criticism coming at you from the gospel, not from your issues. The gospel. The gospel, people. See? And relatives among, Jesus said this time would happen. It's happening now. You didn't think it would come this way. See? Family members arguing, family members declaring. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are separating in the families because one family member don't want to take the shot. Other family members took the shot. And some of the families took the shot. Said, I don't want you to be around me because you didn't take the shot. I mean, there are numbers of people like that. Well, Jesus said that stuff would happen. Paul said it would happen. It's like that right now. Don't stop loving those people. Okay? If you haven't taken the shot and they don't want to be around you, you still pray for them. You still love them. Treat them so good. And when these people wrote me a mean letter about me supporting Trump, I sent them a good letter back, a good text back. Well, I'm not going to be mad at them because of that. You know? Meaning all the life, all the sowing that I've sown into their lives, they're going to be mad at them because of something like that. I got sons like that. And I still love them. I still love them. I even love the ones who failed God and me. I still love them. And I love to talk them through some of that stuff personally. See? Not post something on some internet site or something. Stop that stuff. Come on, grow up. Stop that nonsense. And grow up. Eternity is at stake right now. See? So, anyway, Pastor Hunt, are you there?
I'm here, Bishop.
Did you go to sleep? Did you go to sleep on me? Did you go to sleep?
Earlier, I think I might have nodded a minute. Early on.
Yeah, because I didn't scream. I need to be screaming.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's been a long week, Bishop. Long week.
Yeah. Well, you've got a long more than 1 week. You have a long several weeks. And, you know, you've been all over the place.
Yes, sir.
And them grandchildren wore you down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did.
That's good kind of wearing down right there.
It was. Yes, sir. All right, you ready to sign off? Are you?
Yeah, that's it.
You ready to say goodbye?
Yep, I mean, look, that's just what it is right now. I'm like out here, and and the truth of the matter is, I've been way awake a long time, and I was wondering what's taking so long for me to get going. I even had a conversation with Ms. Ellenwood before we came on.
Oh, good.
So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. And I went to bed late. And I had to sleep with one eye open.
That's true.
I don't care. That's just what it is right now. God's great. God is so great.
He's so great.
He is.
He absolutely is. Well, all right.
Hey, wasn't those testimonies good this day? Wasn't those testimonies good, those people? Don't you like it when they're cutting each other off? I can't get my testimony in because somebody else. Hey, that's good stuff. That's the way I like it right there. You can't get it in because there's so many things God's doing.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. Hot every Monday. Got a whole week to build a testimony. I'm thinking about doing some daily meetings with you here in a minute. That's what I'm thinking about. It's, look, we got to get hot now. I need to kind of get with you more often than once a week now. I'm just seeing it. At least I need like about 4 or 5 days with you, getting you up, get that softness out, 4:30, you know, that kind of stuff. Let you write to some of my people over there on the West Coast. Cause some of them want me to come over there. No, well, I tell you what, we'll get you started by having them get up at like 4 o'clock, or I mean, what is 2 o'clock, 4 to 5 a.m. meeting. That'll get you fired up. And then go back to sleep or have a burn all day long from California. You experienced that last week, didn't you?
Yes,
Pastor
sir.
That's
yes,
getting
sir.
That 2 a.m. burn. Bishop Hunt took my place on the 2 a.m. burn.
Yep.
And then he said, I'm really sorry about all of this, you know, and this ad. Man, he defied me. He said, no. This was great. Man, I don't mind doing. I mean, that was really great. But that's the way we used to be like that. We were like that. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're hitting it. We're not getting old and get soft. We're old and we're doing hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
now, when you got back, that work was still waiting for you. When you got back from California with your grandchildren, that work was still waiting for you there in Atlanta. You couldn't get nobody to do that. You still got to do it. That's right.
That's right,
yeah,
Bishop.
Yeah, you don't let me off the hook on Monday morning. So ain't nobody letting you off the hook down there too, over there either. A lot of stuff going on nowadays. You guys are great, though. You're doing a great job blessing people and still reaching out, touching lives. Glory to God. I love it. Okay.
Yep, got to do it.
So give us some update on Jeremy. Give us some updates on Jeremy sometimes when you come on. That's not you bragging. That's somebody reaching out, touching people's lives.
Yes, sir.
I'll give testimony
next. Yes, I will.
Give a testimony on some of this stuff. This is good stuff. Your children are doing good. And some of your other children are doing great. How about testifying about your children? I'm not talking about they got a new job. I'm talking about some of the impact they're having. Reaching out,
right,
touching lives. Your children, even your grandchildren. Some of you listening to me right now. Your grandchildren are having an impact. How about talking about some of that? That ain't bad stuff. That's good stuff. That's your generation reaching out.
That's
I know
true,
these people can hear me all out in the hallway, down the hallway, and everywhere else. Well, some of their dogs barking out here, so that's, they're making noise. So, okay, so I decided, well, this is good kind of noise.
That's right.
Dogs. They got a lot of dogs. I never saw a dog in this apartment complex. They got dog showers.
Dog showers.
I've never seen anything. Dog spas. They can put their dog in a spa. I mean, you can't even believe that can't be for no dog. Yep.
You live in a softness, Bishop.
Yeah. I ain't into that. But that's what
you
I
read.
Got. So, okay. That's what I got. You don't live in your own house, you got to deal with dog spas. Big dogs too, all kinds of them. And people let them kiss them and all that. So okay, go ahead. That's what you got. Okay, you be blessed. I'm gonna let you go, people. I'll see you.
Right.
I don't ever want to leave you. I love being around you. Love talking to you. Love knowing you're there. And I'm gonna get Anika to tell me how many were there and how many you stayed on the line all the way till I got off. I need to see that. I want to hear that number.
Yes, sir. She'll send it to you, I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you, then. You be blessed.
All right, Kingmakers, we love you. Have an awesome week this week, and we will see you on Monday. Hey, and happy Mother's Day to everybody, because it'll be after Mother's Day and we get on the line on Monday. So happy Mother's Day. Praise you guys. Have an awesome day. And I know y'all going to have some great testimonies. Yep, some great testimonies. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.